I told a Bryce before Rava that says that a Yorish does not do smicha and a Yorish does not affect Tmura. Rava said our Mishnah says that a Yorish does do smicha and can affect Tmura. Chananya said, should I reverse the Bryce to conform to the Mishnah? Rava said, no. We can say the Bryce follows the view of Rabbi Yehuda of a Bryce. We argue that Tanakhama says that a Yorish does not do smicha and does not affect Tmura. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason? And tomorrow he says Karbonai comes to exclude doing smicha on one's father's carbon. He then learns the beginning of it becoming Kaddish, meaning the Tmura, from the end of it becoming Kaddish, meaning the smicha. Just like a Yerush doesn't do smicha, a Yerush also doesn't do Tmura. The Rabbanan say the pasuk of Homer Yomer teaches that a Yerush could affect Tmura. They then learn smicha from Tmura. Just like a Yerush can do Tmura, a Yerush can also do, that also does smicha. What the Rabbanan dash on the word Karbonai? They say that one mention of Karbonai teaches that smicha is not done on the carbon of a guy. One teaches smicha cannot be done with a shliach, and one teaches that all the owners of the carbon have to do smicha. If there are a number of partners, each of them have to do smicha. Rabbi Yehuda says each partner need not do smicha, so only he has one carbon available for his drasha. Or even if he holds that they each have to do smicha, he holds that the exclusion of doing smicha with a shliach and doing a smicha on a guy's carbon are both learned from the same carbonai, which leaves one available for his drasha. What does Rabbi Yehuda learn from the pasuk of Hamer Yamir? As more, he says it teaches that a woman can affect Tmura. The Rabbanan learns from the Ve'im of that pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda does not dash in the Ve'im. Zok, the next mission, all can do smicha except for a cheir shayt of a cotton, a blind man, a guy, a non-Jewish slave, a shliach, and a woman. Smicha is considered to be a shiyori mitzvah, remainder of a mitzvah, meaning it's not essential, and the person has a kapar even if the smicha was not done. Mishnah ends off, smicha is done on the head of the animal using both of the person's hands. In the place that they do the smicha, they do the shchita, meaning the animal is not moved from there, and the shchita is done immediately following the smicha. Fact the Gemara, cheir shayt and cotton can't do smicha because they're not considered to be legally competent. A goy can't do smicha because the pasuk says b'nei Yisrael. Why can't a blind person do smicha? Rav Chista, Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi answer like this. One said that they learned this from the smicha requirement of the Sanhedrin for a parhalim dover, and we learned that just like a blind person can't be a member of the Sanhedrin, so too a blind person doesn't do smicha. The other one said that we learned this from the obligation to bring an oilus re'iyah. Just like a blind person is not obligated to bring an oilus re'iyah, he's also not obligated in smicha. According to the one who learns from the oilus re'iyah, why didn't he learn from the Sanhedrin like the other view? And for the more, he prefers to learn the case of an individual from the case of an individual rather than learning from the case of a tzibber. According to the one who learns from the Sanhedrin, why didn't he learn from oilus re'iyah? But he says he prefers to learn something that has the word smicha written regarding it from something else that has the word smicha written regarding it, and doesn't want to learn from oilus re'iyah, whose smicha obligation is itself only learned from an oilus nedava. Right, Mishnah ends Yo Eved v'Ashliach v'Isha. A bride says the pasuk regarding smicha says Yodoi, which teaches to exclude a slave. Another pasuk again says Yodoi, which teaches to exclude a shliach. And another pasuk again says Yodoi, which teaches to exclude the person's wife from doing smicha. Why we need all these three words to exclude these cases? And for tomorrow, if we only had one exclusionary word, we would say that it excludes a slave since he's not subject to all the mitzvahs, but a shliach who is commanded in all mitzvahs. And we have the principle that a shliach is like the person himself. Maybe we should do smicha. If we had two pasuk, and we exclude these two, and we would say that that they don't do smicha because they're not considered to be like the owner himself, but a wife is isha gufay, then maybe she should do smicha. That's why we need all three psukim. Mishnah then said smicha shiyore mitzvah. A braisa says the pasuk regarding oila says v'somach v'nirtza, which suggests that the smicha is what brings the kapara. Now we know the kapara comes about from the offering of the blood, not the smicha. So rather the pasuk is teaching that if one is not careful with the smicha and doesn't do it, the pasuk considers it as if he does not get his kapara, although in fact he does get it to some extent. A braisa regarding tenufa says the same thing. The pasuk said letenufa lechaper, which suggests that the tenufa is what brings the kapar. Now we know the kapar is brought from the zrika, not the tenufa. Rather, the pasuk is teaching that if one is not careful with the tenufa and he does not do it, the pasuk considers it as if he did not get the kapara, although he did get it to some extent. The Mishnah said Al HaRoish. Rabbi says the pasuk regarding smicha says Al HaRoish, which teaches that the hands should not be placed on the neck. Another pasuk says Al HaRoish again, which teaches that they should not be placed on the animal's back. Another pasuk says Al HaRoish again, which teaches that they should not be placed on the animal's chaz, on the breast. Why do we need all these psukim to exclude? Samar says if we would only have one pasuk, we would say it excludes the neck, which is lower than the animal's head, but does not exclude the back, which is at the same level of its head. If we only had two psukim, we would say it excludes the neck and the back, but does not exclude the breast, since the breast is included in the tenufa obligation. That's why we need all three psukim to exclude all these three places. What's Allah if he put his hands on the side of the head instead of on top? Bryce says, Abba Biro, the son of Rabbi Lez Ben Yaakov said, the hands have to be on top of the head, not on the sides of the head. Rabbi Yirmi asks, what's the halacha if someone wrapped his hands in cloth when doing the smicha? Is that a problem of chatzitza? If more, Rabbi Yirmi says, there may not be a chatzitza between his hands and the animal. Mishnah said, "Ubishtei yadayim." How do we know this? Rabbi Yirmi said, the pasuk regarding the smicha on the Azazel goat says, "Shtei yodov." It's written as yodoi in the singular, but we read it yodov plural, and it says shtei. Two, this teaches that whenever it says yodoi, it refers to two hands, unless the Torah specifically says it's referring to one hand. Rabbi Lozer once repeated this without saying that it was Rish Lakish who said this. Rish Lakish became upset and asked if this is true, Why do we have so many examples? That's how you're writing the word Yadav spelled in the plural. Rav Elazar remained quiet. When Rav Lakish calmed down, he said, I was referring to the word Yadoi written regarding Smicha. Rav Elazar asked, regarding the smicha of Moshe on Yeshua, the pasuk says Yadav. Rish Lakish said, "I was referring to the smicha done on an animal." Mishnah said, "Ubemakam she soimchem shoichtan take if the smicha shchita." If the smicha must be immediately following if the shchita has to be immediately following the smicha, it's poshut that it must be done in the same place because if it's moved, then it's not the takeif, it's not immediately. And for tomorrow, the Mishnah means that the shchita must take place in the same spot as the smicha because the shchita must be done immediately following the shchita must be done immediately following the smicha.